I'm concerned this morning for our young people. Because over the last few days, I've had time to reflect over my life. And that span of time when I passed my teenage years, they were critical. I think they helped to determine whether I was going to make heaven my home or not. I know older folks can be saved, but I want to tell you, young people, you can look around you at folks that passed those teenage years and made decisions that not very many come back again. We do have the story of the prodigal son, and we love it, but there's a whole lot that don't come home. It's a critical time. I remember when I was at home, Mom and Dad were the old-timey sort. They had rules in their home, and they made sure that we clearly understood what the rules were. This is what you can do. This is what you can't do. And as I would get older, still at home, and want to test the borders, they ended it up with an old-timey saying, as long as your feet slide under this table, we want you to obey the rules of the home. I remember in those years, times when I thought within myself, just can't wait to get out of this bondage. Get on my own. But God had mercy on me. My parents kept on praying. Because you know, to every young person here that is maybe at home and feels like these restraints that are around me, they will be gone one day. You're going to get a choice to make. My day was coming. What I am so thankful for today is that before I left home, I had it settled between me and God. It is urgent today, young people, that you have some personal convictions that are settled in your heart before you leave home. Because when I left home, I moved to Oklahoma City, working 200 miles away from Mom and Dad then. They're not watching. But you know what? I had something that was more important than that then to me. I've got a relationship with God now. Don't want to displease Him. And I understand the scriptures there. It says the Word of God is quick and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, and it's down here checking the thoughts and the intents of my heart. By that time, I had it set. Have I done it perfect ever since? No, I've had to go back a lot of times and clear up some things in my life. But I want to tell you, I've always gotten up with my head facing in the right direction. Not going back. I'm going to clear it. And I want that for every one of the young people. Not just for the young people, but for all of us that are here this morning. Joseph in the Bible had a time when he was home under Dad's rule. There was a day that he was gone now. He's a long ways from Dad. Dad doesn't even know where he is. And as will happen, along came temptation. Dad will never know about it. I don't know if I'll ever even see Dad again. And here comes Potiphar's wife with a temptation. It's going to be necessary for every one of you young people, for all of us old folks, that we have some personal convictions that carry us through temptation. Joseph had his. If his had been dependent on whether Dad's going to catch him or not, he'd have been in trouble. Here's what Joseph said to her. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? He had already established some things between him and God that carried him through this kind of a time. To the young people here today, times have changed a whole lot in the last 30 to 40 years. When I was in grade school, and I keep this before me because it's a barometer of where we have gone as a nation. When I was in grade school, teacher asked us, hey, this week, bring your Bibles in. Get your Bibles out, bring them in, we're going to read out of the Bible. That's gone now. We had teachers that prayed. We had a principal that would pray. They would come over the intercom system with a prayer sometimes in the mornings. Things have changed. But I remember there when I brought the Bibles in that week, and now the week is finished up. It's time to take them home. Teacher tells us the bell's going to ring in just a little bit. Get your books together. I got mine ready to take off when the bell rang. And she walked by, tapped me on the shoulder, said, "Dan, never put a book on top of the Bible. Let the Bible always be on top." That's where we used to be. We're down to the place now, folks, young people and old alike. If you want to make heaven, you're going to have some personal convictions. That should the whole world go away and take a different direction, I've got it settled in my heart. I've already worked some things out between me and God, and He's put His approval on my life, and I don't want it to ever leave. We're faced with something today, a word that doesn't just affect the young people. It does affect the young people, but it's for all of us. I'd like to talk about it today. There is a bumper sticker that is out. Maybe you've seen it. That bumper sticker only has one word. It says, coexist. And on that then, it says symbols of the different gods that there are out there. And a call for you to embrace them. Let's coexist together. And in that list of them, yes, there's a cross. We're willing to let Jesus sit on the shelf along with Buddha. You know what? Today you can go down here in town to the Chinese restaurant. And there sits Buddha with a little dish with an orange in it or an apple or something that will rot because he can't do anything with it. The world today is willing for us to set God beside Buddha. Coexist. Let's coexist. What I want to tell the young people and all of us is that word's not in the Bible, nor is the principle. I would like this morning to tell you about the God that I serve and the view that I have of Him. Do you remember there was a time when some people tried to put Him on the shelf right next to another God? Israel itself had sinned. The Philistines took the ark, took it to their God. We're going to put them up here together. We're going to set them together. Put the ark up there next to Dagon and went home. Remember it? He hadn't changed today either. Set him up against there, went home, and the next morning came, and Dagon's laying on the ground. But they don't get it. Just stand him back up again, come back the next morning, and Dagon's in bad trouble. Says he's just a stump now. His head broke off. His hands are broken off. And it put a fear in those people. That was just the beginning of God dealing with them, that I'm not another God that you can put on a shelf. By the time he got through with the Philistines, they were more than happy to get rid of that ark. Because this is not the same God as Buddha, that you can set him up on the shelf and take a look at him every once in a while. I'd like to look at a verse in Isaiah 42 and 8. I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. I will not coexist. We're going to have to, each one of us, young people and older alike, we're going to have to get a picture in our mind of who God is, to be able to make in the time we're living in, so that we don't coexist. Isaiah got a picture of it. Isaiah 6 and 1, he said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. He'll never, when the picture that he had, he could never bring him down and set him up next to Dagon. He could never set him up against Baal or any other. He saw him high and lifted up. The world would love today to try to pull God down to the same level as all the other gods of this world around. They're willing to let you coexist, or they say they're willing to let you coexist. You remember when Moses went to Pharaoh, and when he said, let my people go, what was it that Pharaoh said? Show me a sign. Let me see a miracle. Let me see what you can do. Well, there's a verse that I want to give you, because we can't trust only in a miracle. We're going to need to know God. As we heard the other day, we're going to have to know what the voice of the Lord is. You remember in Deuteronomy 13 and 1, it says, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder come to pass, well, usually that means that must be from the Lord, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. If you see signs and wonders, but the folks are saying, let's go after another god, it says, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. This is a proving time. When someone tells us to go after another god, I need to have it settled in my heart. I already need to know who God is, and he needs to be high and lifted up. When in Exodus, when Moses came to him, you remember Moses did have a sign. It would have been remarkable to me. He took his rod. Aaron took his rod and threw it on the ground, and it turned into a snake. Now, you would think Pharaoh would say, whoa, this is something right here. I believe in God. What did he do? He called for his magicians, because they can do a whole lot of things kind of like this. And the magicians came up. Now, just for me to see a stick that turned into a snake would be enough. You know what they did? They came with a stick of their own and threw it down, and it turned into a snake right up next to the one that God had done. But I want to tell you, God won't ever be put on the shelf with man. What happened? God's snake ate up the others. Now those men have to go home without a stick. This is the God that we serve. Don't ever let the world try to pull God down on the same level. We have an orange here at Chinese restaurant for our God. Put yours on that same level and we'll coexist. It won't happen. So we go on down through there, and I don't, for the sake of time, don't want to read it. Read it sometime. Pull it out and take a look at it. It's in Exodus, starts about 7, goes through a couple chapters there. Had some things happen. Rivers turn into blood. Now, that's something. You know what? His magicians could do the same thing. Frogs. The magicians could do the same thing. We're running right along side by side with God. But it got down to the point that when the lice came, the magicians themselves recognized something. They told him, said, this is the finger of God. We can't do it. Now, how did they know the finger of God when they could do so much on their own? They recognized something has happened. We've reached a level now here where they could not do the same as what God was doing. And it didn't end there. He also said, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to start severing the land of Egypt from the land of Israel. When these plagues now start coming, the land of Israel is not going to have them. Remember when darkness came? So dark over here, and it was light over in the homes of the children of Israel. But there was another one that happened. The Lord told him, said, take you a handful of ashes from the furnace, and you throw it up in the air, and it's going to turn into boils for everybody in Egypt. Well, the magicians didn't do it. Why? They couldn't come. They were too sick. Had to call in a sick day for them, because there's a place where God can't be put on the same level with man. He will always be above it. And you remember, it came to the point where Pharaoh's servants themselves came to him and said, please, would you turn them loose? Can't you look out here and see that Egypt has been destroyed? But he kept hardening his heart. There is a verse, and we've heard it already this week. Through all this that's going on, the need to coexist. Here's my God, what about yours? There's a man that's plowing right through it, living for the Lord and enjoying it, and that is Psalms 1:1. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he's going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. That's in Psalms 1. Then if you go to Psalms 2, because this is coming down to where we live today, Psalms 2:1. Why did the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder. You see that happening today with the Ten Commandments? Let's break these bands asunder. Let's cut them loose. Let's cast away their cords from us. But it's not over. This God that we serve, in the next verse, he that sitteth in heaven shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Do you think the Lord is baffled by what's going on? All the things that are happening? The folks that say we're Christians, but we align ourselves with gay rights. God's going to have them in derision. And what he wants, young people and old alike, is for us to get a relationship with the Lord that will take us right through this time. Because pressure is applied today not just to coexist, but to let go of your God. And I read that yesterday when we heard about, yesterday morning in the message about paying tribute. That message has stuck with me because we see it throughout the Bible. It's not, the pressure is not applied now so much to be, let's put them on level terms. I need you to lay aside your God. It happened with the three Hebrew children. You remember when the king talked to them when they were now standing before him and he said, why haven't you bowed? And he said, here's the things I'm fixing to do to you. And did he say, I know you've got a God that's high and lifted up? Uh-uh. He said, who is that God that's going to be able to deliver you out of my hands? He doesn't exist. There's nothing that's going to be able to save you out of my hands. Folks, we've got to get a hold to the Lord. Because it's no longer about coexisting. We're coming to the point that you're needing to accept some of the things that are going on in the world. But we need to plow right on through it. The king of Assyria, we heard about that yesterday. You remember when the king of Assyria came to Hezekiah's people? And he started saying things. This is in 2 Kings, the 18th chapter. He started saying things like, be real careful that you don't listen to what King Assyria or King Hezekiah has to tell you, because he's not going to be able to deliver you out of our hands. In the 28th verse of the 18th chapter, thus saith the king, this is King of Assyria talking, let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you out of his hand. Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying the Lord will surely deliver us. And he went on down here in the 33rd verse. Now, are we coexisting here? Look what he's saying. Hath any of the gods of the nations delivered at all his land out of the hand of the king of Syria? Where are the gods? And he names out all these people. Have they delivered Samaria? Who are they among the gods of the countries that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of mine hand? Now we're coming to the point where we're saying the God that you're trusting in, he's not even on a level term here. We're going to take you over. But what I want to encourage you with this in this day and time that we're living in, God has a place for his people to plow right on through. Hezekiah heard all that. It was brought to him. And he went like we need to do in the 19th chapter. Hezekiah rent his clothes, covered himself with sackcloth, and he went to the house of the Lord. Because you know in Psalm 73, when I saw the wicked prospering, it really started troubling me until I went into the sanctuary. And then I understood their end. Surely you have set their feet in slippery places. Hezekiah didn't let him get it down. He didn't get down with it. Instead, he took that letter in the 14th verse of the 19th chapter. He received the letter of the hand of the messengers. He read it. Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord. He spread it before the Lord. And there is a secret in Hezekiah and several others that we need to take on. The very first thing he did was he raised the Lord, made him high and lifted up. He prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. That's the prayer that I need to be sending to the Lord. When we get these calls that your God can't deliver you now, you need to turn it loose. Here, Hezekiah is realizing I need help. And he knows who the Lord is, and he goes to him for help. And when he prays, he said in the 19th verse, now therefore, O Lord, our God, I beseech you, save us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that I, Hezekiah, am a great man. That thou art the Lord God, even thou only. And God stepped in on that scene. And he will for us too. You remember there was things said, looks like they're not going to be able to win this battle. Don't have enough people. But here God starts sending back some messages. I read this letter myself from King Assyria. And he says in the 27th verse, this is God now talking to the enemy, the one that has tried to bring God down on a level playing field. God says in the 27th verse, I know thy abode and thy going out and thy coming in, and thy rage against me, not against King Assyria or Hezekiah, because thy rage is against me. Thy tumult is coming to mine ears. Therefore, I will put my hook in thy nose and my bridle in thy lips. This story we read, this God that is high and lifted up, that it had just been said a little bit before to all the people as they're going around the wall saying, you mean you're going to try to trust in this God? There hadn't been a God been able to stand before us now. And also, there was just a little spot when Hezekiah was praying. He said something that I'd like for us to think about. Of a truth, Lord, this is in the 17th verse of the 19th chapter. The kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands, and they have cast their gods in the fire. For they were no gods, not compared to this God, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone, therefore have they destroyed them. And that's when he says, Lord, I want you to deliver us, that your name would be glorified. He goes on down when that finishes up. How could we plan how the Lord's going to deliver us? 35th verse, it says, it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote the camp of the Assyrians, 185,000, 185,000 people died that night. The king did not die, the king of Assyria. He's one of the few that's still alive, and he heads back home. But God says to these other gods that are asking us to coexist with them, God has said, I'm going to put a hook in your nose to the king of Assyria. When the king of Assyria got back home in the 37th verse, he went in to worship his god. And when he was there, two of his sons came and killed him at the house of his own god. Folks, I want to tell you, we're safe to put our hand in the Lord's. What we've got to do, though, when all this turmoil is around us, we've got to keep the Lord, and young people, keep the Lord high and lifted up. Let him, he's always up here well able to take care of all the troubles that we have. There's something else that I want to tell you. Spend your time learning what is the real. Don't spend so much time trying to figure out the counterfeit. You think about the dollar bill over the years, and it's even tougher now because we have such good printing machines. But over the years, people have counterfeited money. You know, they used to write it out on paper. It just wasn't much of a counterfeit, but it got through. There have been so many counterfeits through the years. When you go to Walmart, and if you had a $100 bill and you laid it out, they'll almost always check it. Do they go through a book and say, okay, here's all the ones that have been back through the last 100 years. This thing doesn't quite look like those. I believe I'll keep it. They have a test. Now, I don't know what's in that ink pen they rub on there, but they quickly will let people know whether this one's a good one or whether it's not. Folks, what we need to do is be spending our time right here, knowing what the real is. Because when you know what the real is and God has witnessed it to your heart, you don't have any trouble with the counterfeit. When this, in 13th chapter of Deuteronomy, when this person comes along and says, hey, you saw this wonder that I just did? Come on, go with me after these other gods. That was your witness. God says, I just allowed that to be something that would prove you to be able to see if you'll live for me or not. There was also another key for success. 2 Chronicles 20, when Jehoshaphat heard there's a big old group coming to destroy us, he feared, just like all of us would fear. But he set himself to serve the Lord. My heart is turned. I'm going to live for the Lord. And one thing he said as he lifted, again, he lifted God up. And then he also told the Lord, we don't have any might in ourselves to deliver ourselves. Folks, we don't need to try to figure on our own how we're going to make this all work. What we do need to do is get down low before the Lord. Because he did something that God could not turn his back on. When he got finished praying, he said he and all his the wives of the people, the children, the little ones, they stood before the Lord. We'll be destroyed unless you do something for us. And it's like God just came in. He said, I tell you what, you're not even going to need to fight in this battle. Just come on out and take a look. Watch it tomorrow. I'm going to do something for you. And he did. It comes down to us. These are old stories, and you've heard them when you were a child. All of us have, probably. But it comes down to us today. It starts getting real. With Elijah, when he met up by himself with 450 prophets of Baal, and he tells them, I tell you what, talking to the people, these people that We're God's own chosen people. And he said, how long will you halt between two opinions? If Baal is God, serve him. If God is God, serve him. A decision time. You remember when he told Baal, the prophets of Baal, he said, I tell you what, lay your sacrifice out. Call on the Lord, your God. Call your God. Whichever one answers by fire, let him be the Lord. You remember what they did? They started calling. Nothing happened. And Elijah started mocking. He started saying things like, you need to holler a little bit louder. Maybe he's busy. Maybe he just doesn't quite hear you. And they tried it, but nothing happened. Then all he had to do, because his life had been right and clear before God, was just tell. He didn't tell the Lord, Lord, I tell you what, I'm the only one left and I want them to look up to me. I would like for you, Lord, to prove to these people that you're the God. And the fire came down. We're faced with some things today, young people and old alike. We're going to have faith in God. It says in Hebrews, without it, it's going to be impossible for you to please God. For he that cometh to God, the very first thing you're going to have to do, you're going to have to get him high and lifted up. You're going to have to believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We're living in a time, and we have for years, where the creation theory is in debate. People will find a bone and they say, this proves against creation. This proves that we're millions of years old. I want to tell you, we need a childlike faith. We need to be able to say, it's through faith that I understand that the worlds were framed. Just by faith. I look at the first chapter of Genesis, and I look at the first verse, and it says, in the beginning, God did it. That's all I need. In the beginning, God created. I look down through those verses, and it says, when he said, let there be light, it was light. Can I explain it? Could I go to a scientist and tell him how all that happened? All I know is God did it. I believe it. And that settles it. He did some other things. He spoke and said, let the dry land appear. This is why we can't take this God and set him on a shelf next to Buddha. He won't sit there. Because he's the Almighty God. He's the Creator. When he said, let the earth bring grass and fruit, it was so. So many of those verses at the bottom of it. I could try it, nothing happened. This is the God of heaven that created it all. And then he made man after his own image. There are a lot of questions that will be settled in my mind when I keep the Lord high and lifted up. Not just in my thoughts, but in my heart. He's high and lifted up. There are some things that we face today and have for years. There'll be no question in your mind if the Lord in your heart is high and lifted up. We sing a song that says, heaven is a holy place, filled with glory and with grace. Sin can never enter there. It'll stop you at the door. It'll bar you out forevermore. Sin can never enter there. We're under pressure to coexist. Not everyone believes that sin can never enter there. Many believe in the Christian world that the devil was an angel in heaven and he fell from it. I want to tell you something. With childlike faith, you can never change my mind about it. Not in the heaven that my God created. Because what I'm going to have to do, if I believe that, I've got to bring him down to the shelf with Baal. Because remember what Elijah was saying about Baal? Cry a little bit louder. He might be busy. He might be busy over here on some stuff and he's just not quite hearing you. You know what? When we say that there was an angel in heaven that started a conspiracy and God just it went a little too far and he had to kick him out, I want to tell you something. We haven't got God high and lifted up. Because this God, without me having to explain creation, without me having to explain the scriptures that they say, this proves that the devil is in heaven. Folks, with a childlike faith, I say, nah. Not in the heaven that I'm determined to live my life pure and holy and hope to get there. Because I'll tell you, there's some questions that can't be answered. If it happened once, why can't it be happening still today? And the heaven that I want to go to may not be a pure place when I get there. The heaven I plan to go to, it's pure. It's holy. It always has been. And it says to me, follow peace with all men and holiness. Without it, you're not going to see the Lord. So I don't believe I'm going to have to live holy down here to go to something that may not be holy. There's another one that if the Lord's not high and lifted up, and we're seeing it in the religious world around them, we're trying to keep Israel propped up. Because one day, we expect there to be a battle over there called the Battle of Armageddon. Jesus is going to in person with those folks that will follow him. Is going to fight the devil in person with the folks that follow him. And we believe Jesus will win. I want to tell you something. When you got him high and lifted up, you'll have to just say, folks, you got it wrong. Because in Matthew 28 and 18, Jesus said, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. He was with the Father when they spoke it into existence. He does not need to do physical combat to maintain it. Nor does God need to do that to maintain his heaven pure and holy. We need to have faith. We need to have God high and lifted up in our hearts. You remember when Pilate came to Jesus and he said, don't you know that I've got the power to release you or to crucify you? I'm the one that can do it. And Jesus came to him in John 14 and 11. He said, thou hast no power except it be given thee from above. Let's keep in mind this one that we're serving because he's high and lifted up. There's another one that I'd like to give you. This one destroys the thought of coexisting. It's Acts 4 and 12. Neither is there salvation in any other. I can't explain all the other. What I have to do is take God's word. Neither is there salvation in any other. There is no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. That's it. I have got to keep the Lord high and lifted up because the world today is pulling, first of all, to coexist. Next of all, where is that God that you're trying to serve? He won't be able to help you when we get started on you. I want to tell you, we're not hearing much today about AIDS. It's pretty quiet right now about the disease that God has put on to punish that. It's still happening. People are dying. But it doesn't fit with the agenda that the world is pressing right now. For you to wrap your arms around this and accept it because God has done it. Always keep in mind, this one that's high and lifted up, punish that relationship at Sodom and Gomorrah, and it'll come again. We cannot put him down in our hearts on the same level as the gods that are around us. We're going to have to keep him high and lifted up. To the young people, there are some verses that say, be rooted and grounded. Say, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Says, don't be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. This one says, look at this magic that I can do now. Follow me with my gods. Get a conviction in your own heart, not just to the young people. Tell you what, us older ones are being pressed today. But when we have the Lord high and lifted up in our heart, we'll be able to make it. And I hope that each one of us can leave here saying what 2 Timothy 1 and 12 said, I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I've got on my cell phone a picture today. Of Monarch last year. The last Saturday night of Monarch. You remember it? When that service was completely finished, pictures were taken of a group that stood behind the pulpit and said, I have decided I'm going with the Lord. I have renewed my determination to go with the Lord. We're coming up on a year, and the devil would love to bring something that causes our God to be pulled down to match up with the others. But it doesn't have to be so. What is setting your boundaries today? Are you at home and it's mom and dad is saying, you've got to do it? And when I break loose from this, I can go tell you what, we're going to have something more than that. And this one has settled it for me. I'd like for us to sing it in closing. It's song number 233. Because I'm going to need something more than mom and dad telling me you better do it or you're going to get in trouble. This song says, while sleeping careless on the brink of an eternal woe, I felt the touch of Jesus' love. That's the only thing that's going to hold us in the world that we're living in today. I felt the touch of Jesus' love, and oh, it charmed me so. I know thy sin, my sins have pierced thy heart, O Jesus crucified, and now your love is breaking mine. I bow to him who died. I hear thy voice in tender love. You know what? Mom and Dad were able to make me do right things for a time. But I want to tell you, if it wasn't in my heart, the day was coming that I could cut it loose. I've got to have something that's building boundaries in my life, and this is it. I hear thy voice in tender love, so sweetly calling me. Thy dying love has won my heart. I yield, O Lord, to thee. Folks, if there have been any, I've had to do it myself. Renew it. The Lord wants us to renew it. If it starts waxing cold, go back to the Lord. Renew it. Have a fire, because you know what? I hope this year at Monarch on the last Saturday night, those plus more will be able to testify. This year, I have grown closer to the Lord. To do it, we've got to have the Lord high and lifted up. I desire your prayers.